This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie sports leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, Laker head coach Damon Whitten joins the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, for the weekly coaches show. Got questions for Coach Whitten? Tweet them to me at cornerpocket422. Now, here's Bill and Damon on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford, Matt Pockets alongside here at the studios of Sovereign Communications. Damon Whitten's in his office today. That's how we do this show these days. But, Damon, you're coming off a big win on Saturday. It wasn't an easy win by any means. Senior night. I thought the post game was really good, by the way. But a 2-1 win over Ferris State that clinched second place in the standings. Best finish for a Laker team in 25 seasons, which is a real feather in the cap for all the players and the coaching staff. And now you're looking forward to Alabama Huntsville coming in here 2 out of 3 series this weekend.
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to believe that the regular season's over. And our coaches were just talking moments ago before the show started that it's hard to believe. It's March, and you know, such a crazy year and a different year. And in some ways, it feels like we got a lot of hockey in front of us, and we certainly hope we do. But now it's playoff hockey. But a real good finish by the guys. I thought defensively, you know, we did not give much up and had a strong game and, you know, limited their chances, limited their shots, and, you know, and had plenty. You know, I thought it was a game that we probably should have won in a much more controlled fashion, but everything is so tight this year, but it was good. We've talked a lot, Bill, lately about how we controlled our own destiny, you know, going back 3, 4, 5 games. We actually had a 10-game segment put together and talked about some different things, you know, motivationally about how to handle this 10 games. 7 of those were road games, and I think all those road games were against Rams, and it was a real good stretch of hockey here. So we knew we controlled our own destiny. I think our leadership group job did a tremendous job in the locker room to keep guys focused. You know, staff-wise, it was a real team effort. Not only in preparation for, you know, different opponents and single games and all the travel, but working with Pat Sardi and Taylor Brown, our athletic trainer and our strength conditioning coach, you know, how do we handle the rest, the recovery, the workouts? So it took a real effort, but the guys in the room got it done. So it was really, really a solid win. Got a power play goal to win special teams. You know, I thought Chase Hamlin was awesome. Probably could have had 4 goals, and, you know, we could have been up much bigger. But, you know, Logan Stein played really well for Ferris State. But a big game, a big win, and, you know, really, really gratifying to come through such a trying season and finish where we finished. And as I said, we got a lot left to accomplish, but it was a real strong finish to the regular season and a very different feel with all the games, all the travel. A lot of things stacked against us, but this group really responded.
Yeah, this team plays very well on the road. They've only lost a couple of games all season on the road, and one of those came at Bemidji State last week. You played 4 games in 8 days, and you took 4 out of a possible 6 points at Bemidji. Great performance in the second game there last Wednesday, a 5-2 win. Ashton Calder, 3 goals, but a really good team performance. And you got a big goal out of Jakob Bengtsson, and that resulted this Monday in the Lakers getting 3 out of the 4 players of the week. You got Calder as the forward of the week with 3 goals, 2 assists in the 4 games. And then you got Rydell, the defenseman, who had a game-winning goal during those games against Ferris State on Saturday. And then Bengtsson had the game-winning goal and had a goal and an assist in that 5-2 win at Bemidji. So a really good week for the Lakers, a great way to finish off the season on a positive note.
Yeah, you know, and I think our only 5-on-5 or regulation loss was at Michigan Tech. You know, I think Michigan Tech's played really well down the stretch run, and, you know, we had to make 3 trips over there for various reasons, obviously with the COVID pause being the first one where we didn't get to play. And, you know, we tried very hard to go that, make that a back-to-back series somehow, like the Bemidji, instead of making extra time and travel. But, you know, the Bemidji was an overtime 3-on-3 loss. So, again, our guys played really well down the stretch run, you know, tremendous on the road. I'm not sure if we had the best road record in the country, but if we didn't, we had to be right there amongst anybody that played any significant amount of games. So, you know, our guys knew how to get it done on the road, and a little bit different this year with no fans for sure. It changes, you know, the energy in buildings and the momentum and things like that. And that works both ways, obviously. But a good finish. And then you mentioned some recognition. I think when you have team success, individuals get recognized. And so it was good to see for the guys you just mentioned to finish strong. You know, Jacob Benston, I think, has been, you know, a little overshadowed because of some of our upperclassmen D and in a very good D core. But Jacob has been probably as good as any freshman D that we've had here and had a very strong year, a little bit under the radar, and probably a good thing. You know, we don't have to put him in positions like we had to put Will Rydell and Lucas, you know, 4 years ago when we were, you know, trying to build a little bit and didn't have the depth and then, you know, the seniors who could play those minutes in those roles. But Jacob's a very good player, and it was good to see him get recognized along with the others you mentioned.
One thing, bringing that up, Damon, one thing that I talked about during senior night a little bit, I thought with Kybel and Rydell in particular, you can see the influence of those guys because they've got a similar frame to another guy who's come through this program in the last couple of years, and that was Steven Ruggiero, and I think he was a really good influence on them, you know, working with them when they were younger players, teaching them a lot about positioning and spacing on the ice, how to use that big physical frame of theirs and how to bully guys around, not just around the net, but then how to get involved in the attack too. I thought Ruggiero was a really good influence on them, and you could see some of that this season too. Their own twist on it, of course, but two really rock solid defensemen.
Yeah, you know, I would take Buds on any team I ever coached, and you know, as good as he was on the ice, he was even better off the ice with energy, habits in the weight room, a really strong and detailed kid. He understood, you know, coming out of the national program, spending a couple of years at Providence, he understood what it took to be a pro and to be serious about the game. And so he had huge influence. And him and Will Rydell were best of friends. And so, you know, Ruggie was a real big impact on and off the ice. And I think you're right. I mean, those guys learned a lot from each other. Steven was a little bit more narrow in his focus as a defensive defenseman, whereas Will and Lucas, you know, have a little bit more offensively to give and are having really strong years offensively as well. So a little bit different that way. But you're right. You know, the habits defensively, how hard you have to compete and play. You know, I remember a game down in Plymouth against the national program. Again, Steven came through that program. He knew the focus on that team and the eyes in the stands and things like that. But we started that game, the opening shift. Steven Ruggiero absolutely leveled somebody and kind of set the tone. And, you know, our guys learned a lot from him. And so, yeah, our decor, you know, we've been really happy. I think we've done a really good job of, you know, recruiting different elements. But, you know, we've got great size back there. We've got a mix of a guy like Arvid Henriksen who can really lock you down defensively and, you know, maybe doesn't give as much offensively. But we got Will Rydell and Lucas Kybel and Jacob Nordquist who can really add elements offensively. I think you're going to see guys like Jeremy Gervais and Artie Borshoff. Sebastian Medina has now been with our team. He's practicing with us. They're going to be really good replacements for those guys as we graduate and be a good mix. You know, they're going to add more offensively than maybe Arvid or Ruggiero. We've done a really good job, I feel like, and the balance in the offense we've gotten from the back end has been a really impactful this season.
Yeah, and I think you can see how you want to build this D-core, too. You want a couple guys who are puck movers, that Jacob Nordquist type of guy, but then you want a lot of big guys who move well, who skate well, who can clear space in front of the goaltender, right? Don't allow a ton of shots in front of the goal in the first place, but then clear rebounds, keep guys out of that danger area for the few chances a game where there are rebounds given up, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what, you know, Matt, I would, I think we got bigger a little bit by accident. You know, it wasn't really a focus, and now I've come to really appreciate how important it is, and I'd love to stay with that, but I don't want to give up skating ability and puck touches and offense and, you know, the ability to activate and join the rush and, you know, activate in the offensive zone as well. So it's going to be challenging moving forward to continue to identify guys like Rydell and Lucas and recruit them to Lake State and you know, get them here and acclimated. But again, I think we've got a couple guys that you've only seen, you know, small flashes of Artie and Jerv. And again, we're seeing Sebastian in practice and some of the guys coming in down the road. So that's going to be our goal, you know, is to continue to play that way with size, with skating ability. You can't give up mobility and skating and puck skills the way the game's being played in the back end. I think it's a quick path the wrong way if we do that. So that'll be a huge focus, not only, you know, recruiting-wise, but development. And I think Mike and Zach, along with Taylor Brown, deserve a huge amount of credit for the development. When you look at, you know, Chase Gamblin's evolution, Miro Mukka's, You know, Will Rydell and Lucas, the same thing. They're no different. You know, they've evolved, and our coaching staff has invested a ton of time in their development, and you know, on and off the ice. And I think that's something that we can really sell the recruits. That, you know, I think Lucas Kybel, Colin Sockerman, you know, Will Rydell, you know, they've come in and they've probably produced better offensively than they have in Waterloo and in Fargo. And you know, I think Jacob Nordquist, the same thing. You know, that's our development. We take a lot of pride in what we're doing, and we've done a really good job. And it's certainly something we use in the recruiting process.
Damon, you got a full week to prepare here for Alabama Huntsville. I think we kind of laughingly, you and I talked about it after the game on Saturday, but you got all this time. You haven't had this. You had to play those four games in 8 days. There was no time to think about much of anything, and yet you got 10 points out of those possible 12. So really good job right there. But now you've got a week here to get ready. What sorts of things are you doing? Obviously, you're going to try to provide some rest for your players because they've been on a hectic schedule, but you've also got to get ready for Alabama Huntsville.
Yeah, going 8-2 again. You know, the goal is to go 10-0, you know, and then realistically with the travel with the opponents, you know, at BG, at Bemidji, at Tech, we knew it was a tough stretch. So going 8-2 was a good accomplishment. And then, like you said, you know, we needed some rest, and so we're trying to be a little bit creative here. The guys got Sunday off after, you know, clinching the second spot and winning that game. It helped that it was a 3 o'clock game, so you're not getting out of the rink at 10 o'clock and it's really late. So, you know, we're putting a lot of onus on our leadership group and our players to make good decisions and rest and recover, eat properly and hydrate properly. So Sunday was an off day. Yesterday we only went about 25 minutes. It was just kind of a flow, touch some pucks. We didn't want to go multiple days off. Sometimes, you know, the puck touches and your execution can get a little bit, you know, thrown off if you take multiple days off. So yesterday was a real quick flow day. Today we actually did a split group. We took the defenseman out first while the forwards out first while the defenseman lifted, and then switched those groups. We haven't been in the weight room in probably 3 weeks because of our travel and not being in town at all. And so we wanted to get that done early in the week and then, you know, just kind of take care of our bodies. And, you know, the way they lift these days, it's a little bit more maintenance and activation for the weekend than getting in there and moving a lot of weights. And, you know, and then tomorrow we'll get back to normal prep. You know, we got to move on to some special teams. We've not really been able to do anything power play on the ice with resistance or against a group of penalty killers to scout our opponent. So we'll get some special teams done tomorrow. Again, we won't be long, Bill. You know, hopefully we can keep it to 30, 35 minutes this time of year. I think we really want to be careful with the attention span of our players. And then also getting some good video work in. You know, the way we've set up our video, we did some challenges today, show the guys where Alabama Huntsville is really a dangerous team and their strengths. And then tomorrow we'll look a little bit more at opportunities where we feel like we can take advantage of some areas or want to maximize our strengths against them as well. And then kind of get out of the way Thursday. Short and sweet Thursday, get up and down the ice, get some touches, and really, really shift the game preparation at that point.
Yeah, I want to get into some detail on Alabama Huntsville. We'll do that in the second segment of our show here tonight. We're going to have Lucas Kybel join us later in the show too, the Laker captain. He's never been on with us before. It'll be interesting to talk to him. He's a very mature defenseman for this team, and he plays like that, and it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say about this season and his career. I thought one of the things I'd like to just hit on before we take our first break here, Damon, is the great job they did post-game on senior night, and that'll involve Lucas a bit too, because having the Zoom down there on the ice was tremendous. I mean, to see Yuki Miura's parents and Lucas's parents and Hampus's, I mean, it's incredible that they were able to do that. And the technology worked out really well, and it turned out to be one of the better senior nights we've had.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it back up. I know you mentioned it on the top there, and you're right. It was, I thought, a really touching ceremony and a very well-deserved for this class and what they've accomplished. You know, they're very close to being the winningest class, just a couple games away since that, I think, that 95 or 96 class. And obviously in a COVID-shortened season, we'd probably already be there. But, you know, I want to make sure Mark Boucher, our library director, had a big role in getting that along with his staff. And we weren't around very much. So Mark Boucher, along with Mike Furr from Information Technology, Kelsey from our Sports Information Director, and Hunter Perry with Athletics and our athletic staff deserve a ton of credit, along with Dan Kozel and Jesse and the crew at the rink here. You know, that's one of the things about Lake State that's so special is how people care about this program, how they step up. You know, none of them had to give extra time and effort to put this together, but they did. And, you know, the way the families felt about it, you know, to have Yuki's parents from Japan and Lucas's parents from Germany was really touching. I will say that we need a big screen or a video board, and I think it would have been a little bit even more touching had we had them up at the video board. So that's a project, you know, we need to get on and make some progress on. But it was a great job from so many that didn't have to do it, but they went above and beyond and is very thankful and appreciative for the effort they did to make that happen. And, you know, we're very, very pleased the way it turned out and, you know, felt like our seniors deserved it. And it's already COVID. It's already a very different year. But because of our international flavor with kids from all around the world, I wouldn't have changed a thing. I thought it was a very special moment and a very fitting tribute for that senior class.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was great. We're going to take a break here on the show tonight. We'll be back. We'll preview Alabama Huntsville when we return to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Paul Thompson here with Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, just off I-75 in Rudyard, inviting you to stop in and see the largest selection of equipment in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. To complement our full line of Mahindra tractors, we have trailers including goosenecks, dumps, cargos, car haulers, and utility trailers. We also have a full line of lawn and garden equipment with Cub Cadet and X-Mark. Over 50 mowers to choose from, a full line of parts, and we service what we sell. Looking for an outdoor wood or pellet furnace or parts? We stock water pumps, exchangers, PEX supplies, and more. Also, check out our full line of Boss and Fisher snow and ice equipment. Here at Gaylor Thompson and Rudyard, we are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 9 to noon, for your convenience. Just off I-75 in Rudyard, 30 minutes from the bridge. If you need it, we have it. Give us a call at 906-478-3026. Hope to see you here.
Fremont Insurance has proudly served Michigan since 1876. For more than 140 years, Fremont Insurance has helped protect what Michigan residents care about most. Since 1999, Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont have been partners, rooted in the promise to provide the best possible service and value to customers, be it your home, auto, or business. Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont Insurance, there to protect what matters most. Don Wilson Insurance, 110 Dawson, in the Sioux, call 635-5600.
MNC Water Systems has a solution for all your water needs. Want clean, fresh drinking water? MNC Water Systems proudly distributes Norway Springs artesian water, bottled right here in the Upper Peninsula. Cooler rental and bottled water delivery for your home and office are available. MNC Water Systems is offering contactless delivery right to your door, as well as curbside pickup. Call Mo at MNC Water Systems today at 906-647-7307. Serving the Eastern UP for over 25 years.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
All right, we're back for our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford along with Matt Pocket. We're chatting with Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers right now. And Damon, we got Alabama Huntsville coming in here this weekend. It's a 2 out of 3 series. Anything can happen, as we all know, in a short series like this. We want to get a win. Certainly on Friday night. It's a 7 o'clock start on Friday, and then 5:07, I think, is game time on Saturday, and if necessary, on Sunday, also at 5:07. We're hoping we don't have a game on Sunday. This team's tired as it is, but this Alabama-Huntsville team is tough. I mean, you said earlier that you showed some tendencies that they have to the guys today. I think that's good because they've been tough with us. It was a 2-2 tie, which we won the shootout when we played them early in the season back in December, then a 3-2 Laker win in the second game, then 2-1 Lakers just 3 weeks ago in February, late February, and then we beat them 4-1 the last time we played them, and that was a pretty good win for us right there. But they're tough. They play hard. They've got a great goaltender in David Fessenden, who's 6'6", 230 pounds, and pretty much fills that net up. I think he's got great pro aspirations, that boy. And he's tough to beat, and then they're very feisty, and they're very well coached. Lance West has done a great job with that team.
Yeah, Lance really has. You know, it was a tough summer for the program, and, you know, they lost some upperclassmen, and I think that's, you know, a little bit been their MO. They go and compete. They're not worried about being young or what people are saying about them. They come for full 60 minutes, and they've done a really, really good job. Lance has, and the players, you know, they play hard, and they pressure in a lot of ways. They're a great shot blocking team. And then when you can, beat a layer or get pucks through, you got Fessenden sitting back there, I think, at a 92 save percentage, having a tremendous year. So they've done a really good job. Offensively, they've been driven by their top line. And, Tyrone Bronte, has got to be in the running for freshman of the year. He's had a really good year for them. But their top line with him and Neudecker and some other guys mix in, Green or Thompson, do a really good job. And then they get some offensive production from the back end from a couple of guys as well. So it's a hard team to play against, and you got to give them a lot of credit for the way they play and how hard they compete and battle. And now it's playoffs, so that just gets ratcheted up another level. So they're going to be very competitive, challenging games, and we've got to make sure we're ready to play and start on time on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think they profile out in a similar way to Ferris State to some degrees, right? They're teams that generally don't have a ton of possession in games. They will spend a lot of time defending in their own zone, but they will hit out at you on the counter, and that's when they're dangerous because they do pick their spots, and they can be dangerous in those spots. There generally aren't all that many of them in the game, but they've gotten pretty good at taking advantage of the few that they do get, and they will hit you at weird times when you're changing or maybe when you're settling into a long spell of possession in their zone.
Yeah, no question. We'll call it a little bit opportunistic, and that's some of the stuff we show today. It's a tough balance because offensively, when you have some of that possession, doesn't matter who you're playing, whoever it is, sometimes you start to cheat a little bit, and you want to anticipate or you want to generate more when you can't get pucks through, and that's when that opportunistic, they'll block a shot or they'll make a disruption, and you have a D cheating down because you had possession, and then they get an odd man or they spring a breakaway, and a couple of their top guys can absolutely fly, and so a little bit opportunistic, and that's why you have to have your foot on the pedal offensively and play hard and consistently, but you can't cheat. As soon as you cheat, they're very good to counter strike and transition on you, and that's something we've really warned our team against here these first couple of days, and we'll continue to all week long.
Damon, what kind of game do you want to play against these guys? You just kind of indicated a moment ago you want to play a fast pace, up tempo against them. That's kind of how they want to play too. They like to counter with that fast pace, and they do have some really good skaters. You mentioned Bronte and Neudecker. They're very quick. Trier Thompson's very good like that. And they've got a couple of big defensemen who are very effective in their zone at taking the body and then getting the puck out of their zone. I'm thinking of Adenier and Coville in particular. They're both big boys who can handle things, and yet they're young guys. They're just freshmen and sophomores. So, they're a funny team to play against, but I think we want to go. We want to play like we did against Ferris State on Saturday.
Yeah, we do, and that's a great point, Bill. I think that's an area where they've done a really good job is defending their net front. They'll turn and box out and engage in a battle. They've got a couple, as you mentioned, big, strong defensemen that like to turn and get into you. And so our job to offensively protect our hands and fight early on so they can't tie you up or box you out is really important. There's some similarities to Ferris, as you mentioned. I actually think Bemidji, you mentioned Lance West and the great job he's done. Structurally, they're very good, just like Bemidji. The more you hang on to pucks and come back and regroup and play slow, they're going to give them more and more time to get their structure and to play inside and to really, counteract what you want to do. So we want to underhandle pucks. We want to play quick. We want to use our speed and get pucks behind their defensemen, like a lot of teams do. There's not a lot of teams not playing that way. But if we're overhandling pucks and trying to be really patient, it's going to benefit them. So we're going to be on our team to make sure we're not doing a lot of that.
Yeah, if I remember right, when we had success in the 4-1 win over them 3 weeks ago, we managed to get to their net pretty good. I think Louis scored one that was a poke in front. I mean, you got to get numbers. You got to have more than one guy in front of Fessenden in order to get that puck by him.
Yeah, you do and you don't, because I mentioned how good they are, and they're good in their structure. So if we end up getting two or certainly three Lakers around the net front, you're going to have five, six bodies, and you can't get a puck through. They're really good in shot layers and committing to blocking shots, and so our offensive zone spacing is really important the way we do. But if we end up having two guys and certainly three guys net front, there's so much traffic there that you can't get pucks through, and then you just really, got so much traffic there, it's hard to find a second puck opportunity. So, we've got some things that we want to do to space them out a little bit and decline some guys. and you know, have good spacing in the offensive zone to allow for a little bit more of an opportunity to just corral pucks and not have you know, a major over collapse by their team.
Yeah, we mentioned too that Alabama Huntsville just played on the weekend at Bemidji. Now I'm thinking they probably came this way. They certainly didn't go back to Huntsville and then come back here, I wouldn't think, but that would be economically as well as physically very difficult. They've either got to be in town right now or maybe in Marquette or Duluth or somewhere trying to find ice and put up the week and then come in here and play.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure. It was a Saturday-Sunday game. They worked with Bemidji to push that back a little bit because of our Tuesday-Wednesday series with Bemidji. You know, and I know they had kind of a weird split with Bowling Green home and home, which is a little bit, you know, challenging with their footprint. But I think they went home from what I've seen and heard, and I know they're arriving Thursday as their plan. So they flew up to Bemidji. I think they flew home. I'm not sure if it was post-game or Monday, and then they'll fly up here as well. So I think they're coming from home, but I don't know that. You know, we know what it's like to go through that travel stretch, and, you know, they've had a lot of road games in a row now as well. They've been road warriors themselves, so they're very acclimated to be on the road. And you know, we don't want to be very good hosts. You know, we hope we treat them well and have a good setup here at Caffey Able, but on the ice, we want to make sure we're not good hosts.
Yeah, the biggest questions we get these days from fans: number one, can there be any fans in the building, it being a playoff series this weekend? And number two, are the Lakers healthy right now? Do we have any injuries? Do we have any illness issues? Those are questions I get asked every day.
Yeah, you and me both have a lot of people reaching out, and you know, it's been you know, we appreciate people following the team, and I know some frustration because they can't get in and see, but a lot of people have reached out and, you know, are excited about the year we're having, and that makes me love to have people in the building. You know, but my understanding is at this point there'll still be no fans in the building, which is, you know, really unfortunate and difficult for our team and for us. Believe me, we want you in our building, and we appreciate the people watching and listening and supporting the program. But that's my understanding, is we won't have fans in the building, unfortunately. In terms of the team health, you know, we're in pretty good shape. You know, we anticipate having, you know, pretty much a full roster. Certainly this time of year, there's a lot of little nicks and bruises and guys playing through some stuff. And that's certainly part of it. And that's why the last couple of days, you know, Sunday off and a real light couple of days here early this week. You know, today was all just skill work. There was no battling and you know, fighting out there in high competition. But tomorrow we have to get back to that. You know, the stakes rise in playoffs. The way the games play, the game is played, elevates. And so, you know, we're asking our players now to flip the switch and really get in playoff mode today or tomorrow when we get back on the ice as a full team.
Yeah, you know, there was a period in that game on Saturday right at the end of the first period. Lucas Kybel went down behind our net, and wow, when I saw who that was and how he came off, he actually needed a little bit of help to get to the bench. I thought, man, we can't lose this guy, and thank goodness he came out. He came out. He was maybe the second last guy on the ice after the period break to come back out to start the second period, but he played really well after that, so I'm assuming he's okay, but boy, that was kind of frightening there for a few moments. You don't want to lose a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, your captain and the way he's played and what he's done, and, you know, he's gone through a lot this year as one of our guys that obviously missed some games, you know, coming through the pause and things like that. So, you know, he should be okay. You know, he's one of those guys that's going to have to nurse through that a little bit and play through that. But certainly a key guy. You know, you need your captain, and, you know, he's done a tremendous job for us this year. He's got good support by the other seniors and the other leaders on our team, but a key guy that we need to be as healthy as he can. So hopefully he'll be good to go, and certainly if he can, you know how much we'll use him out there.
Okay, we're going to take our second break tonight. Damon, we thank you for being here, and we know you'll be back here for a third segment. In fact, you'll be back in 2 minutes' time, and we'll join you from here at the studio, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Quality patient care has been the foundation of Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies since the 1970s. Being locally owned and operated ensures that they strive toward the best for our community.
We invest in the growth of our communities by providing superior health care service and employment opportunities for current and future generations. Hi, this is Andrew Miller, manager of Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies. Helping our customers remain independent is our goal.
Arfstrom provides durable medical equipment, medical supplies, orthopedic bracing, and prosthetic breast forms to patients in Chippewa, Mackinac, and Luce counties.
needs. Arstrom provides care from the initial order to delivery and setup in the patient's home.
Our trained and certified staff has many years of experience and is ready to meet your individual needs. Give us a call or stop in to see how we can help you. And don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook to stay up to date on current deals, new products, and events.
Arstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies is part of Arstrom Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy located on the corner of Ashman and Spruce, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
Come down to Arfstrom Pharmacy and Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies for your prescription medication and medical equipment needs. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Before the game tonight, do you think Coach Damon told his players, "All I ask is that you give 25% tonight"? Of course not. Everybody knows that 100% is what you have to give. So while every bar and restaurant in Michigan is at only 25% capacity due to COVID restrictions, Sioux Brewing Company puts 100% effort into every beer we brew every day. Come on by before the next Laker game and enjoy a Laker Gold. Sioux Brewing Company, it's the only way to be.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
All right, our third segment of the show tonight. Damon is back with us. Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Lakers. We were just chatting off mic about the polls. The USCHO poll has come out. It came out yesterday. BC's ranked number one in the country. That's no surprise. North Dakota's number two. North Dakota playing host to the NCHC tournament this week. Minnesota State is ranked number three and got five first-place votes, and they've been good all year. I don't really have a big problem with Minnesota State being way up in the poll. But Bowling Green's ranked number 13. Bemidji's 15. The Lakers are 18. We moved up two spots. And this is after we took 10 of 12 possible points in those four road games. We also own two wins over Bowling Green at BG, and we took 4 out of 6 points from Bemidji last time we played them. But I think what these pollsters do, and I'm not sure who votes in this thing, if there are coaches involved or what, but I think what they do is they look at the fact Lake Superior State has played Mankato twice this year and has played Bowling Green only the two times, and they knock us down a bit for that. And whereas some other teams have played four times against Minnesota State, four times against Bowling Green, but boy, they stay up in the polls and we don't. And, I always think like there's politics involved here. They want to make sure that the WCHA doesn't have more than two teams in that NCAA tournament.
Yeah, there's a lot of different agendas for sure and different polls, and some of the polls it is a coach's vote. And, so it varies. I think there's a recency bias for sure. Ty and before Ty, they did a good job building Bowling Green up, so they've been up there the last few years and, they've been in everybody's minds and they've sustained some success the last few years. And so, recency bias over the last couple of years. But, certainly I think you can read into that as a little bit of a lack of respect when you go into Bowling Green and sweep a series and, go into Bemidji and take 4 of 6, that it's hard to say that we're not above and better than those teams, as I feel we are. So, I'll let people vote and worry about the polls. I hope the tournament people, do a deeper dive and see that. I think the other thing in a year of unbalanced schedules, as I just mentioned, we got most of the top teams in the league on the road. Mankato, we did get at home where we weren't able to take advantage and get wins. But we had to go to third place BG. We had to go to fourth place Bemidji. We had to go to fifth place Michigan Tech and, play the best teams on the road. Whereas, a lot of those other teams had those as home series and home games. So that's just another challenge that should boost our standing and our results. And, we're more worried about the NCAA tournament at this point, or more so the Friday night is our main focus. But as coaches, as we look a little bit more big picture, we got to make sure the tournament members understand why we are the next team up in the WCHA to go to the NCAA tournament. And also that it's a year that we deserve three teams. This is by far the best year I think the WCHA has had. And unfortunately it's come in COVID where you don't get, much non-conference games. But I think the big one you can look at is Bowling Green going out to Quinnipiac. And I can't remember where QPAC's rated as well, but they're a little now. And our third-place team went out and beat them twice in their building on the road, one of the few non-conference matchups that did occur this year. So, you know, there's a lot to like about our resume. And, you know, we're going to try to make sure the right people are aware of that and you know, get that out there. But we need to take care of our own business. You know, we've got to focus on Friday and, you know, get through this weekend and keep moving on. And, you know, that'll sort itself out when the time's appropriate.
You know, one of the things we were chatting about after the game on Saturday was the goaltending in the WCHA. And, you know, one of the guys said, you know, name me a bad goaltender in the WCHA right now. And that's a great point, because I think the WCHA may be the best league in college hockey when it comes all the way around to goaltending. There are good goaltenders playing every night for every team in this league, including Merrick's Mittens here at Lake Superior State. But it's tough to beat all these guys. Even Fessenden, he's a really good goaltender, and I think Logan Stein showed he's pretty good.
Yeah, no question. You know, I think for, you know, Ferris, Bob, Coach Daniels has to feel really good about, you know, Logan. They got to obviously go into a hornet's nest there and try to knock off Mankato in that building. But certainly a lot for Logan to build off as a highly touted freshman goaltender. You know, he was with the World Junior team this year and, you know, missed some time with the program with Ferris State because of his representation with USA. But, you know, that was a big game for him to build off of and goal. But you're right. I mean, every night you're seeing very quality goaltending throughout the conference. You know, Merrick's has been as good or better than anybody and is having a tremendous year. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're facing Dryden McKay or, you know, Blake Pietla and what a year he's had over at Michigan Tech, and DiMatteo coming in late and doing a tremendous job at Northern Michigan as well. So it's good every night. And Fessenden might be the best of the bunch, the way he's played and what he's done. You know, he doesn't get the offensive support of certainly Dryden McKay and some other goaltenders. But, you know, he's a difference maker. He's been awesome for them. And it's a big challenge ahead of us this weekend to face him.
I think one of the things you got to be doing when you go into a playoff series too, not just this series this weekend so much, but in the long range, if we're going to go and play, if we play at home or if we go to Mankato and play in the Final Four, because it becomes sudden death, it's so important special teams play such a role. Now, penalty killing, we've been outstanding all season. Power play, not so much. And that's probably something that you have a concern with too, because power play can make or break you. I think we would have won 3-4 more games this year if we scored more on the power play. But, you know, what do you do with it now? We've got talented players. We've got a guy. There's got to be somebody loose all the time on the power play, but we really struggle with it. And yet we have scored about 4 times this season right after a power play ended.
Yeah, I think we're up to 6 on that. And not only you know, when we win a couple more games, we'd have a lot less gray hair, you know, because we wouldn't be in so many tight games that we had a little bit more consistent power play. You know, I definitely think early on, you know, I didn't do a great job. We were trying to kind of have some different guys ready and hadn't sorted out, you know, a top 5, a top 10 for both groups. And, you know, with COVID, we were all talking about having multiple guys ready to go and in case somebody had a shutdown and a pause and, you know, or just had to sit out. So, you know, I would change my approach if I had a hindsight to go back and start the season over. I think we've been much better as of late. And part of that is, like you mentioned, the 6 or so goals that came as the power play expired. So I think over the last 10 games, it looks much different than it did early on. And, you know, it's tough to recover when you have such a poor start and get that number up. So, yeah, I mean, everything's a concern. You know, you're always planning and replanning and, you know, getting up at 3 in the morning and checking again, you know, this time of year to make sure you're ready and prepared. But, you know, special teams become magnified this time of year. And, you know, we've got to find a way to not worry. The regular season's over. You know, if we can get that to 12 or 25, whatever it is, it'd be a difference in the playoffs. That's the only focus at this point. So, you know, I agree. We've got some obviously very talented players, and it's our job to get the right mix on the ice in the right positions. I think we've done a lot better job of that as of late, and it's just got to continue. It's got to be better here for these this weekend and then moving forward into playoffs, because it could have a huge impact.
Yeah, we're running down in time in your portion of the show tonight, Damon, and we always want to ask about recruiting. This is a great time. I mean, we can't go out and see players. We can't be in buildings, et cetera. We're looking at a lot of video there and listening to a lot of inquiries, et cetera. I think the only thing we really need next year, and maybe you've already solved that for all I know, is a third goaltender. But you're losing seven really good hockey players here, three who are critically good that are going to have to be tough to replace. But are we cashing in at this point on our success, too? We're in second place. We've had a great season. A lot of kids should want to play for this program. We're on the upswing. We're a good hockey team right now.
Yeah, well, no question. I think, you know, 24 wins a couple of years back and, you know, that tough start last year, and then we got going in Christmas. So I think the perception and the word is out. People know, you know, what we've built and what we're doing, and you know, they're always interested. I mean, the history and the tradition. I mean, there's always kids that want to play at Lake State. So that's a huge positive. And, you know, by hosting Bantam camps for the Michigan Amateur Hockey Association, you know, most of these Michigan kids come up to our building and they know us, and, you know, we know them a little bit. So that helps. You know, I think part of what's going to replace these seven seniors is what's here. You know, Josh Wildauer's been out with an injury. He's back now, but, you know, he's going to be part of the replacing these guys. I've talked a little bit about Gervais and Artie Borshoff and Sebastian Medima. We have others coming in. You know, we have other good defensemen that'll come in and that will be a part of that as well. But a lot of it's here. Spencer Dembski, I think, is going to be a really good player for us. You know, he hasn't gotten much of an opportunity. Tyler Williams, another guy that, you know, he's been, you know, had we not had such success and consistency, you would have seen more of these other guys, you know, but we didn't want to take guys out who had played well and didn't deserve to come out just to get some fresh legs in or get a guy a look. And, you know, so I guess we stayed, you know, maybe overly loyal at times, but I think it worked well and helped us have such success this year. So it's not all going to be the incoming freshmen. There's a lot of really good players that are here that have not had much of an opportunity because the way the guys in front of them played. And that's hard to explain sometimes. They want to know, what can I do, coach? What can I do? And it's not always what you can do to that individual. It's the senior in front of you. It's the junior in front of you. You know, maybe it's the Benny Posa who gets his opportunity and goes in and ends up being, I think, a top three or top four freshman scorer, even though he didn't play a lot of games earlier on. So a lot will come from within. But no, the recruiting trail is going very well. You know, we're excited about our guys. A very, you know, unique year with guys like Brett Rolson and Dawson Tritt. You know, the BC League is still not playing. And so about a month or so ago, you know, they came down to the States and joined a team, but they've been off of hockey for 7-8 months. And, you know, now they're starting to kind of catch up and get going and having really good season. So we're excited about them. You know, Grant Hinman's out right now, banged up, but he's had a great year in Youngstown. You know, Brian Huggins playing very well. So, you know, we like our class coming in. I know we didn't hit everybody. It's, you know, we got to get through that. Having said that, you know, we may lose on a new player just recently. I think one thing we're trying to do is be patient with the transfer portal. With fifth years getting an extra year of eligibility, you're starting to hear some teams aren't going to have room to bring recruits in. So, you know, if we can get better through that process, we will look to add and continue to be, you know, improve our skill, improve our depth, and be competitive. But there's a long way to go this year because of COVID, because of the transfer portal. And, you know, we've got money available late here, and we're going to be patient to see what comes up and see if there's somebody that fits. Certainly on the ice, and that's the easy part. But, you know, what we've built in the locker room took a lot of hard work, and we want to make sure we continue, you know, that culture. And our upperclassmen do a good job. This freshman class is going to be that's here on campus right now is going to be an awesome class. It's just really tough that they haven't gotten much of an opportunity to show what they can do. So we're excited about not only the new guys who will come in, but the guys that are fans of that have not seen much of already.
All right, Damon, that's great. That sounds really good. And I agree with you. I think, you know, a kid like Wildauer is going to be a really good player, and that the future does look pretty good. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, and Lucas Keibel is going to join us. Damon, thanks for being here tonight. Good luck on Friday, Saturday, and we hope we don't play on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll be right back with more of Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
You know the saying, the greatest compliment is a referral? Well, Central Savings Bank wants to show you how much it means to them by giving their loyal customers a $25 referral reward. CSB customers refer someone you know today. You may be eligible for a $25 referral reward if someone you send to Central Savings Bank opens a deposit account with direct deposit, gets approved for a consumer or commercial loan, or signs up and uses one of CSB's services. With 9 locations locations to serve you. Ask what the CSB family can do for you. Restrictions and limits apply. See representative for more details. Set your course for a brighter future with the help of Central Savings Bank. CSB's experts can help you with a savings plan and retirement investing. With IRAs and CDs, they will assist you in making the best choice for you. Start a retirement account as part of your long-term financial plan. Get started by visiting one of CSB's 9 locations today. Watch your savings grow. Bank with Central Savings Bank.
Central Savings Bank. Ask what we can do for you.
When you're looking to score great pizza, make your play with your favorite hometown team at Guido's. Well known for their pizza, someone once said,
"You can't live on just pizza."
Something they may not agree with at Guido's. You'll also love their pasta, salads, breads, and of course, their Guidotizers. Make a power play and order online at guidospizzasue.com. And while you're there, look for their college student special coupon and save 15% on one regularly priced menu item. Guido's Pizza, 2673 Ashman. Call 906-635-0066.
O'Connor's Chrysler Dodge, Dodge Truck and Jeep in Pickford is your full-service dealership, servicing Pickford and the surrounding areas with pride for more than 50 years. O'Connor's top-notch body shop includes a state-of-the-art frame straightener. O'Connor's is also a proud supporter of community events. Its sales team has the experience to know which model is right for each customer. And with financing available to back your purchase, you can drive away today in your dream vehicle. Local people, local pride. Stop in today on M129 at O'Connor's.
It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Whitten.
Well, Damon Whitten's gone. He did a great job in his portion of the show tonight. The Lakers go into a big playoff series this weekend against Alabama Huntsville. It'll be Friday night at 7, Saturday at 5:07, and if necessary, Sunday, same time, 5:07. And joining us now for the first time ever on this show is Lucas Kybel, the captain of the Lakers, a senior out of Mannheim, Germany. And Lucas, you know, it's going to get kind of tough here tonight talking to you. You're going to close out a great career at Lake Superior State. You've certainly had a good senior year despite all this COVID stuff and the weird schedule and no fans in the building. But let's talk a little bit about this past weekend. You get a big win over Ferris State, 2-1. It was a hard-fought victory. I thought we probably should have scored more goals. We outshot them 42-17, but got a one-goal win. But the win was what we wanted. We finish in second place. That's our best finish in 25 years in the standings at Lake Superior State. And, you know, you're a big part of that. You're captain of this team. Talk a little bit about that game, winning that game, and we'll get into the post game here in a moment too.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for having me, first of all. But, it was a big game. It was a big game on Saturday. We knew that before, obviously, it was senior night, but then also with, like you said, with the win, we could secure the second place in the league. And yeah, it was a really emotional night for me personally, but I know for all the seniors. And it felt really good to get that win. You know, like you said, we for sure didn't want to make it that close, but I mean, we were pretty dominant in that game and could have definitely scored a couple more goals. So we're trying to not make it that close this weekend against Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama Huntsville's tough, though. They're a very feisty team. They're an awful lot like Ferris State with maybe a little bit more quickness and ability to handle the puck. And they've got that big goaltender in that David Fessenden, who's, 6'6", 230 pounds. He pretty much fills that net. And we've had tough games with them so far this season. And I guess at this point it's up to you and the leadership cadre on this team to be ready to play Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with Alabama and also the same with Ferris, the scoreboard or the board of the, you know, how they are in the rankings doesn't always show, you know, how they play. They're really hard to play against. They do a good job. They're really physical. They're desperate teams. And but like you said, at the end, it's up to us to be ready to play. And you know, I think we can dictate that game and, you know, play dominant and like you said, don't make it as close as Ferris.
Yeah, after the game on Saturday, we had the senior night, and I thought they did a great job with it. You know, back in the old days, and I've been around a long time to see all this, but we used to always do senior night postgame and made a big deal out of it. The fans were very much involved. Everybody would stick around. Now, obviously, we didn't have any fans on Saturday, but I thought that the staff at the university did a really good job. I was especially impressed with the Zoom effort to have your parents. We've got so many international players, to have the parents be on Zoom. And I mean, everybody from Alex Ambrosio is from British Columbia to you from Germany. And and Merrick's from Latvia, and how about Yuki, his parents being on there all the way from Japan. Yeah. That was really a nice touch.
Yeah, that was really awesome. And we had no idea that that's going to happen. The players had no idea. And that was a great surprise. You know, that really made the night even more special. You know, we all wish we could have, you know, celebrated that night with the fans and had fans in the building. But that was an awesome surprise. And that really made that night special, you know, especially like you said, with all the international players that we have, you know, to see our parents and to also, you know, make them be a part of that night was really awesome.
Lucas, Damon said after the game, too, that it was definitely a different energy than any other game. There's just something about senior night, right? And the one thing that kind of came out was a few of the guys saying, you know, I can't believe it's my night. You know, Chase Gamblin in particular, who's, you know, born and raised here. But it's a special night for all of you guys. What was going through your mind in the build-up to it those hours before?
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. You know, waking up that morning, that was kind of my first thought, too. You know, I can't believe that it's senior night already. Those 4 years really, like, fly by. I know everyone says that, but it's really true. The time just flies here. And, you know, you really try to just focus on the game and, you know, leave all of that beside. You know, you want to play well and be focused. But, you know, at a night like that, senior night, there's always emotions still. There's always emotions in the process and in the game.
Do you find yourself getting nostalgic and looking back at maybe kind of who you were as a hockey player or as a person when you first got here, or is it just kind of a culmination of things? What kind of things have you been thinking about in the time leading up to this?
Yeah, I mean, the big nostalgia part for me was really after the game, you know, when we did our lap and had our songs playing and talked with our parents, you know, and afterwards, you know, have a little bit of time, you know, to think about it. That's really when I was thinking back about all those things. And yeah, also, you know, I got a memory on my phone, I think just a week or two ago from 4 years ago when I was here, you know, on my visiting Lake State, still playing in Fargo. And, you know, just remembering that time, you know, being here and, you know, Damon Whitten and the coaching staff, you know, really telling us, you know, that where they want to take the program, and, you know, me right away, like, believing in that, you know, that road that they saw for the program. And, you know, I think all of our seniors, like, really bought into that. And, you know, I like to believe that, you know, we made some good changes, you know, in those 4 years and got some things accomplished. You know, that makes me really proud of the guys and also to be just part of that journey. But yeah, that's what I thought a lot about after the game.
Yeah, you see a lot of things go on in your time here too, Lucas. You've had a lot of great teammates and good friends come and go. I think about a guy like Colin Sackleman. He was such a big part of this program. He left, and then you guys keep going, and now it's your turn to leave, and there are seven of you, and that's, you know, and you're roommates with Merrick's Mittens. You guys are best of friends. It's a tough time. I mean, you're always going to be buddies, but you're not going to be together in those dressing rooms anymore, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, no, that's true, and that, I think, makes those, you know, that last game, but even now, you know, the playoffs are just, you know, it just makes it so much more special, you know, to know that, you know, you don't have as many more games left. You know, we still hope and we still think that we still got a lot of hockey, you know, left in us and left to play with that group. But it just makes it a lot more special, you know, when you think about those things. And it also makes me really excited, you know, for the upcoming games and the playoffs. And like you said, I think we have a really special group of seniors, but also a really special group, you know, with our whole team, and they're all great guys. And, you know, it just makes me excited to see where the next weeks are going to take us.
Yeah, and when I look at this group, I see the development that all of you guys individually and collectively mm-hmm. have gone through. I mean, I feel that you and Will have evolved from good physical defensemen to really good two-way players to being some of the best defensemen in college hockey that I don't think people are really talking about. Merrick's has become one of the best goaltenders in college hockey. I mean, the development in this group, you know, Hampus Erickson, he's so good at using that big frame of his to hold guys off and keep possession, rack up time in the offensive zone. Everybody, Yuki flinging himself in front of every puck that he can find. I mean, it seems like everybody in this group brings something special, and they've really grown in this time here.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of character in that group. Like you said, you know, Yuki just throws himself into every shot, and it's such a big part of our team. And, you know, me and Will back there, Mitch back there, I think we all evolved, you know, as human beings, all of them, you know, within those 4 years. I think we have a great leadership group. Like, it's really, it makes my job, you know, pretty easy sometimes having those guys and those seniors, you know, around me, just doing the right things every day, working hard, getting the team ready. And yeah, it's really been a great season and an honor to play with those guys.
You know, we always ask the guys about the international flavor of this team. There's no college hockey team in the country that has 10 international players involved, one from Japan, a bunch of European players, four Swedes in the lineup, a few Americans and a few Canadians, and you get along so well. Talk just for a second about the camaraderie in that room.
Yeah, it's really uncommon, you know, for especially in college that you have people from all over the world come together in one locker room. But yeah, we're all buddies on the team. You know, we're getting along really well, and I think it's really awesome to have that kind of different backgrounds and different cultures. You know, talking with Yuki, you know, how his summer was whenever he comes back and what he's doing, or the other guys, and it just brings, you know, a lot, I think, to the table to have that kind of diversity and have different cultures, you know, joining together in one locker room. It makes it really great.
You know, you got a kind of banged up late in the first period against Ferris State the other night. I don't need details on what happened, but I was certainly glad to see you come back out to start that second period. Well, I don't think this team be the same without you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it definitely shook me up a little bit. You know, that was, I don't know how that was not a call that's straight to the head, but yeah, I was just kind of shook up there for a second, but yeah, there's no concussion or nothing. I'm all fine. So yeah, I was really happy afterwards that it was nothing worse than that.
Now, generally you play with Jacob Nordquist, but various times during the game, obviously defensemen jump on the ice when they have to, so you can get out there with just about anybody. And this defensive core works really well together. It doesn't matter who's out there. You can kind of look across and see who it is, and then you know how to go about your business. But talk a little bit about playing with Nordquist and what that's been like for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, playing with Nordy has been really great. You know, he makes it also, like, pretty easy for me. He's a really, really smart, intelligent hockey player. You know, he's a really great skater that helps me a lot also, you know, with my skating. Just having a good gap and those things, like, he makes it really easy to play with. And also with the whole D group, I think that's also something that's pretty special this year. I feel like kind of everybody can kind of, you know, play with everyone. Like, I don't think that there's that Yorkie is afraid, you know, to put anyone out there especially or anything like that, or put any group together. You know, we're all pretty smart hockey players, and we have a good amount of experience that everyone can kind of play with everyone back there, and I think that's the strength of our team, definitely.
Here's a question for you, Lucas. You're in a position right now where you can influence some of these younger guys, too, guys who bring similar characteristics. I think a Jakob Bengtsson stands out a little bit. He's that big physical presence who can also contribute a little bit offensively, too. Who were your influences, though, when you look back, when you were in their position as the young guy, and what kind of things did you learn from them that now you're able to work with these younger guys on?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the first guy that comes to mind, you know, from my freshman year, Kyle Chatham, that I played with, you know, he definitely had a big influence with me. You know, he was a good defenseman, a good hockey player, and just playing with him really as a freshman, you know, you kind of forget after the couple of years, but you come in, you're pretty nervous, excited, obviously, but he really helped me out a lot, just, you know, staying calm during the games. You know, he was a really calm hockey player and never really, you know, got too crazy emotional about anything or did any mistakes like that. So that definitely helped out a lot that he kind of took me under his wing. And then the years after, definitely playing with Colin Sockerman, also, you know, great guy, like really smart and really great hockey player, but also great guy off the ice, like you guys mentioned before, that just kind of helped me out a lot too with my game and working with him together and seeing what, you know, what we can both improve to be better individually, but also to be better, you know, as a D pair. That definitely helped me a lot. And now in my senior year, that's what I'm trying to, you know, give to those young guys and trying to help them out if they have any questions, or especially before the season, you know, reaching out to them, saying, you know, if you guys need anything, you know, if you have questions about the system we're playing or don't understand anything, you know, don't be afraid to ask me, or, you know, I've been just trying to help those guys the best I can.
Well, Lucas, you've had a tremendous senior season here. You got 12 assists right now. You haven't got a goal yet, so maybe that'll come this weekend against Alabama Huntsville. You're a plus 14, though, in the plus-minus end of things, which is really, really good. You and Rydell are both way up there in plus, in the plus minus. You're from Mannheim, and I always like to notice what's going on there. I think Minnesota State likes to have German hockey players in the lineup, too. They got Dubrovnik right now. I think he's from your hometown, if I'm not mistaken. And they've had a couple other guys in recent years from Germany as well. How does a young guy go from playing in Germany to the USHL or whatever, North America, and then wind up playing college hockey? That's kind of a long trip right there.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty unusual, too. But, yeah, Mannheim... The junior team there, you know, really became a powerhouse, you know, back in Germany the last like 5 to 10 years. You know, they really built something great. I think when I left there the last 12, 13 years, I think they won 10 times the championship. And now the last couple of years, they won it too. So they've been really dominant, and they got a lot of really talented and good young players to Mannheim because of that. Like, for example, Leon Draisaitl, and then, like you said, Mark Michaelis and Tuomi and Napravnik, those guys that played in Mankato, they all went through Mannheim. So, yeah, they really built something special. And one good thing, how the American teams or the USHL kind of to watch me was that we had a tournament every year with the Mannheim team where we would fly to, you know, Canada or the United States, where we would just stay here for 2 weeks and play a bunch of other junior teams, so we could kind of get exposed to some scouts and some people watching us and seeing us play. And that's how Fargo saw me and then drafted me.
It's got to be really gratifying for you and your parents too, though. You're going to get a degree. You're a business administration international studies major, and you're going to get that degree in May. And you know, you got that to fall back on. You can play in Germany someday if you have to or want to. You can play in the NHL if you can get the breaks. You can, you know, you get the future's good, and I think you've made the right decision here, and we really appreciate having you here at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, thank you. I also knew from I don't know, I was already 15, 16, I really knew that I wanted to take the college route, and I think, you know, it's a great system that you guys have here with all the college sports, and to have young, talented players, you know, still also think about school and think about their future after, you know, after hockey or after their sport. I think it's really important. And I'm really, you know, I'm really happy and that I, you know, got the chance to be here and to go that route.
Well, Lucas, we thank you for joining us here tonight. We're out of time on the Laker Hockey Show. We could probably talk for another half an hour here about hockey and the Lakers, but we really appreciate your time. Good luck this Friday night and Saturday against Alabama Huntsville. You'll have your hands full there. Be ready for that one. And, again, we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate you.
All righty, Lucas Kiebel, the captain of the Lakers, joining us on the Laker Hockey Show. That's all the time we've got. We're flat at the top of the hour. For Matt Pocket and Damon Witten, Bill Crawford saying so long till next Tuesday on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.